Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available, as always, on iTunes, Stitcher, and at NFL.com/Shek. As you may have noticed, pro football has taken a back seat of late here in these United States and the world over in favor of football. We're going to talk a little bit about that, but of course, our bread and butter remains American-style pro football, so we're going to kibitz about that. In fact, we're going to put together in our continuing series of naming the all-division teams, we're going to discuss in just a matter of moments here what I consider to be perhaps the best division in 2014. I know everybody swoons over the NFC West. Today, we're tackling the NFC North. And I say your world champion shall emerge from that division. The only question left at this point in my brain is which of those teams? I said the Green Bay Packers will win the Super Bowl this coming season. But I have a hunch about the Chicago Bears really taking a run at them. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about also we're going to be talking about our ongoing little World Cup adjacent little feature available at NFL.com. It's the NFL Cup, just like the soccer players abandoned their professional affiliations to return to their homelands for the World Cup. We speculated, what if everybody left their NFL obligations to return to their hometowns to play a little fictional tournament? So we're going to kibitz about that. Like I say, you can find that at the NFL Cup at NFL.com. And first, though, let's kibitz with we'll talk about this this all NFC North team and maybe some World Cup. This, that, and the other with the man seated to my immediate right. Oh, I forgot to mention, my voice might sound a little different. That's because we are not in Studio 66 right now. We are in Studio 4 at the NFL Nerve Center out here in Culver City, California, the West Coast Nerve Center for NFL media. So we're temporarily, as they jazz up Studio 66 a little bit, we're doing the show from here for about a month or so. Anyway, the man who I started to introduce a moment ago, he has a feature up right now, a video feature at that, on the newest version of EA Madden. It's called 2014, 2015. Well, let's ask him right now. It's Adam Rank. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me. It is sure. NFL Madden 15.
Madden 15.
It's okay. Always a year ahead.
I must say this.
Because a lot of people get it for Christmas.
I can't believe how good it looks. I have looked forward to the day. I said long ago, as I've said many times on this show, that to me the gold standard for sports video games was NHL 94, also by EA. I loved that game. That was the best one. And I said, I will get a new video machine or whatever you call them when the graphics rise to the level that I would like to see them at. And I saw the Madden stuff. That looks like real people out there. It looks like barely cartoon versions of actual football-playing human beings.
And the NHL game that's coming out this year, too, also just as rad.
Really?
Wow. Yes.
Wow,
so go get your Xbox 360. Don't get the Xbox One yet. They haven't made enough games for that to make it worthwhile yet, and they're going to be working out some of the bugs. The price will drop. I'm sorry, we're talking too much about it, but check out the feature.
All right, I do want to think about getting one of these machines. Meantime, though, you mentioned NHL. Mazel tov on to the people of Los Angeles, yourself included, Rank, on a second Stanley Cup in 3 years.
Pretty amazing,
pretty
too. Pretty amazing. Not only that, two back-to-back world, back-to-back Stanley Cup full season champions, right, in addition to going to the Western Conference Finals last year and not making it.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty good run.
Yeah, definitely definitely that. And mazel tov to the San Antonio Spurs. Everybody very quickly, and as fast-paced as the news cycle goes, people seem to skip over things to get to the angle they want to discuss, which is the narrative of where's LeBron going, and it certainly is compelling stuff where he will wind up, if he'll stay in Miami or go to Cleveland or out to the West Coast or wherever, New York City. We'll see with that. But the Spurs didn't beat the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion so much as they annihilated them to a historic degree. Those last three games, people are skipping over how mighty the demolition was of this team. They didn't beat them, which I picked that black tie, kudos, not behind the glass, but seated about 15 feet away from where we are here. Kudos to you. I picked the Spurs, but I did not pick them to do it in five games like you did.
Well, yeah, I didn't. Oh, again, I didn't expect them to just demolish them. Like
I mean,
they
embarrass
did,
them. I mean, really, that's what it was. It was a shame.
I take it back to before the series. Tim Duncan, who's not a trash talker, comes out and says, "We're going to get him this time." I think he was just speaking of the matter of fact of knowing that they were definitely better than Miami Heat. Again, didn't expect the just the complete thrashing, but they totally whooped them.
It was if you look at the numbers by the margin of victory in those last three games, it was a domination of historic proportions.
The one caveat
against
that
LeBron James, who I would tout as the greatest player of all time, it's awfully hard to make that case at this point.
One caveat I added to that was that if LeBron was to show us a gear which we haven't seen yet, that's the only way the Spurs would have beaten him in five. And he didn't show us. And I don't think
I mean, they got exposed as having zero. Dwayne Wade is I don't know if he's finished, but based on what we saw in the last fortnight, if something doesn't happen over the summer, he is finished. And Chris Bosh is very nice. He's a legitimate all-star. When people define him as some sort of role player, that's understating his value. But still, he's no Scottie Pippen either, if you're talking about who the number two is on all-time teams. Shaq had Kobe. I wouldn't say Chris Bosh rises to the level of what Kobe contributed or what Kevin McHale did to Bird or what Kareem or Worthy meant to Magic and so on. That said, I mean, again, dominant stuff.
Final point for me was, again, since LeBron did not take that next step on a personal level, I think we've seen the limit. I think we've seen the best of LeBron James. I think longevity would prove him to be the top three player, maybe top two once it's all said and done. But I do not see him, because of what he was not able to do on an individual level in this finals, I cannot see him surpassing Michael Jordan. I just can't.
Well, listen, I mean, it's the same. It is the pristine. It's the argument against Joe Montana. It's almost impossible to make because he has the pristine championship round effort. Montana 4-0. MJ never lost the finals and was the MVP in every one of the titles he won, I think he got the MVP in every
one. Yes,
let's talk about another Carolina native and also a former professional.
Almost kind of looks like him too. Kind of looks like MJ.
Well, that's offensive, black tie. I don't like that kind of talk. Now let's bring him in here, the main man from pre-draft. We talked to him quite a bit. He gave us a lot of interesting thoughts about what the draft was going to be. Then he disappeared for about a week. Then he reemerged. Then he reemerged on another podcast here from NFL Media, a little-known podcast called the Around the League podcast. And apparently Bucky Brooks fell very much in love with some people over there because he turned his back on the Dave Damashek football program. It's Bucky Brooks. What's the poop with you, fellas?
What's going on? I was muted. Y'all went through the Spurs and Heat conversation. I just wanted to weigh in.
That's your punishment. You're not allowed to.
Yeah.
Next subject. Football.
I just can't believe the black tie. I can't believe you take shots at LeBron. I thought LeBron actually stepped up and played well, considering he didn't have any help.
I agree. Like I'm saying, he showed us he was great. I was expecting to see a gear we've never seen, and he didn't show that. So I'm just saying,
I just don't.
There's nothing wrong with being top three, top five ever. I'm just saying I don't ever see
him. I
think
you made Michael Jordan a unicorn. I believe people forget the epic struggles that Michael Jordan had to go through with the Detroit Pistons and the Celtics and all that stuff. So I think we just kind of anointed him as the guy that just kind of walked through. For the first 6, 7, 8 years, they wondered if he would ever win a title as a scoring champion.
He played in the 80s. Everybody just forgets that he just arrived on the scene in 91. You're like, no, he was drafted in 84.
And I think he
was there with Magic and Bird.
I think the Bad Boy documentary really shed light on how tough it was for him to finally win and how they beat him up and how it really takes a team. And I think, obviously, we're in the media now. We kind of play on the one-man thing, and you have to have this one thing. We make these kind of momentary judgments on what someone is, on their legacy in the moment. But, I mean, I think when you look at the Heat, the fact that they went to four straight finals, that says to that only two teams have done it, the Celtics, and I want to say maybe the Lakers.
The Lakers did it
a long time ago. And so the fact they went to four straight says a lot about the guys coming together with LeBron. And even though they were 2-2 in those events, I mean, Magic was 5-4 in the finals.
I listen. I make my case for LeBron, have been doing so for the last year or so, that I would put him ahead of Michael Jordan. It's hard to make that case this week after the Heat's, again, demolition at the hands of that Jordan Spurs team. But again, you know, that in the, at least the second three that the Bulls won in the 90s, they had Dennis Rodman, who's now in the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Famers.
Plus Scottie Pippen, the first three.
And a Hall of Fame coach.
But here's what I'll say. People forget about this quite a bit. Yeah, they also had Phil Jackson. The thing that people have rewritten, talk about turning into a unicorn, is that the 90s, the perception that the 90s of the NBA were something special is way, way, way off. The 80s is where it's at. The greatest team that I've watched in the NBA is the 80s Lakers. I mean, imagine that. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the top scorer in the history of the sport, plus James Worthy, plus Byron Scott, plus Magic Johnson. I mean, that's a group I don't think anybody could beat, including consistently the Boston Celtics of that era, with that front line of the Chief and Bird and McHale, plus that rugged backcourt, especially with Dennis Johnson, who, if you look back and you watch the late Dennis Johnson now, you think, like, well, he's doughy. He had a pot belly. Well, he'd be in shape in 2014. He wouldn't look like that. I'm sure he'd be jacked up like all the other NBA players. Point is, the 90s stunk. That was expansion. There were, you know, all the rosters were thin. How do you think they won 70 games? I mean, that's all the Bulls finally got over the hump and got 70 wins. It's because they were playing the Toronto Raptors and bum teams like that of the 90s. That was not a good era for the NBA. I can assure you, in the 21st century, the level of ball we're seeing here is far superior to what the 90s was. We have to get past that. People forget that David Stern and the NBA very concerned about his plummeting ratings and everything else. So only in the 21st century did that start to turn around, when Kevin Durant, LeBron, Carmelo, and all that new generation emerged. All right, Black Tie is pointing at his little rundown here, reminding, I guess, that this is a football show. Nominally, so let's talk about some football. Bucky, what we've been doing here is we have been putting together by division. You know how the Pro Bowl works.
I've been paying attention.
How many Pro Bowls did you go to?
None.
None?
Zip.
How many? You know, it's funny. I've never looked up your career stats. How is that possible? I would not be inquisitive enough to do that.
I don't know if you would see a lot of stats, a lot of kick return stats.
Really?
Maybe a tackle or two.
How many times did you get in the end zone?
None.
You never scored an NFL touchdown.
No, preseason doesn't count. Never.
That counts.
No,
you scored in a preseason game.
Don't let him off the hook.
No, I'm letting him off the hook. You scored in a preseason game. That's pretty amazing.
For which team?
I scored on a hitch for the Buffalo Bills. I took a hitch 55 yards.
Really?
Yeah,
real little
Kelly.
Screen, and you took it.
No, I just took it. I mean, it's preseason, but yeah. It count.
It counts.
Did you do a dance in the end zone?
No, I was so excited. I probably just put the ball down.
Do you remember? Yeah, you don't remember what you did?
Not even a spike.
No, I didn't spike it.
You kept it? Did you keep
the
ball?
I just did a chill post. No, because it's preseason. I think
it'd
that time.
It'd be weird if you said you need to keep that ball.
Yeah, because I was thinking I would score a lot of touchdowns in my NFL career. I do have a couple game balls from fumble recoveries and stuff like that. Special teams work, but nothing.
Did you catch 10 passes in the NFL?
No, because I ended up playing defensive back.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Did
I was keeping track of the switch. Only in preseason. None. So, nominal statistics.
Wait, who did you pick?
Gosh, Atlanta, was it Jeff?
Chris
George?
Miller?
No, it was Matt Schaub.
No, it was Matt Schaub. It was 90s, mid-90s.
How young do you think Bucky Brooks is? Bucky's like 63 years old or something.
It might have been Jeff George for the Atlanta Falcons on a deep post route to Mike Haynes.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
How about
all
that?
Right, well, so here's what we're going to do, Buck. The Pro Bowl splits teams by conference, and then they do the Deion versus Jerry Rice draft them thing, or pick up style thing. We have refined it to by division, because we love to talk about the divisions in season, which one's the best, but a pretty good measure of that is who could put together the best team. We've gone through six so far. You can go back and listen to those podcasts, or you can wait a little while longer. We'll put out all the rosters in full, how we perceive them to be. Today, like I said earlier, NFC North is the division. And I say at the open here, I like the Packers. I like the Bears. If they could just stay healthy for once, I like the Detroit Lions. And I'm at minimum intrigued by the Minnesota Vikings. Let's start at the top of the list here. Bucky Brooks, we have to choose the sport's most important position, the quarterback. Who are you going with here? Stafford, Cutler, Teddy Bridgewater? or the guy who I say, when it's all said and done, will go down in history as the greatest quarterback in the history of the game, greatest Aaron Rodgers. That's what I said.
In the history of the game?
That's what I said. That's what I said, Buck.
Wow. I agree with you on the All-Star team. I would take Aaron Rodgers in the NFC North team, but greatest of all time?
Let me tell you something.
He's a really good player.
When people get upset, oh, blah, 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 how could you say that? Because when they were 15-1.
Greatest of all time?
Let me just make a quick point to you. And when people start doing if, I David Tyree got lucky with that ball on the side of his head. If that didn't happen, then the Patriots are without question the greatest dynasty of all time, the greatest team of all time, undefeated, and all that. Yeah, but he did catch it, and it did count. So that if means nothing in this case. All right, but if Aaron Rodgers' receivers against the Giants in Lambeau a couple of years ago when they were 15-1 in that playoff game, if they didn't all drop the ball, they beat that Giants team. They go on to the Super Bowl, and if the Giants could beat the Patriots, so too could the Packers. And if Aaron Rodgers had two Super Bowls right now, that conversation would be in full throat that he's maybe the greatest of all time. If he had two rings right now, he doesn't. But I mean, you're that afternoon away from that conversation happening.
Yeah, but it happened though. So we can't.
Jay Cutler doesn't get hurt in the NFC Championship.
Right, we don't
game,
even know. We don't have to beat the Bears.
The Bears could have beaten them and then gone to play the Steelers.
Touche.
Yeah.
Yep. Fair point. And then the Steelers would have had seven rings. Well, now, that would be.
I'm not sure about that. But at the minimum, he would have zero. So he could just as easily have zero as he could have two.
Rank, you talk about fantasy, of course, in season, and actually later this week, you and the fellows are doing NFL Fantasy Live, are doing a summer special. Jay Cutler, it's easy to obviously say Aaron Rodgers, but Jay Cutler with those weapons is going to be gangbusters from a fantasy perspective, right?
It's true, but he hasn't put together a full season like Aaron Rodgers. He hasn't stayed healthy for a complete season, so rightfully so, everybody's excited about what he can do with another full season with Mark Trestman. It now comes to the point where he has to go out and show it.
I mean, they're pass catchers plus Matt Forte plus what is, if you haven't paid attention in the last couple of years, now a good offensive line. Not one that can get them by, which previously it could. It's now good. It's now a position of strength for that team, I would say.
Plus, the system is good. Mark Trestman's a better coach as opposed to what Mike March was running there with the let your quarterback get killed and then see what happens. Because that was a problem with Warner and Bolger and all those guys getting hurt, is that the protection schemes just didn't seem to be at a premium for a Mike March offense.
No, Bucky. He already released five. Also, watch Kadeem Carey.
Oh, really?
Oh, I like him, yeah.
Ooh. Watch Kadeem Carey.
What about, though, Aaron Rodgers, Buck? Where do you rank him now in the all time? Do you put him in the, obviously you think I'm over my skis if I'm saying he's
greatest of all time.
Going to be the best of all time. Well, I mean, listen, let's wait. His trajectory statistically indicates that he's going to rank among them. That's not an argument you're going to be able to make against him when he's done.
He could be one of the best to play, but greatest of all time.
Bum offensive line for the majority of his career. Really? And by the way, too, what do they always talk about?
No one cares about Magic Johnson
or Michael Jordan or whoever else. Oh, he makes the guys around him better. Who's done that more than Aaron Rodgers?
Tom Brady.
Well, look, Tom Brady's is a great name to throw out there, but fine. Tom Brady's in the conversation of best of all time. Greg Jennings, we saw what happened to him last year.
Yeah, but Tom Brady's
a lot of guys have gone on.
But yeah, but Tom Brady has three Super Bowls, five conference championships, and his team goes to the AFC Championship game every season. With not a good roster around
him. I know, but he's been the starting quarterback for twice as long as Aaron Rodgers. So
no, I'm just saying.
Don't we have to give him that time? Yeah, no, but I'm saying, but who, if the measure is makes guys around him better, who's done that better than Aaron Rodgers?
Drew Brees has done that.
And when Tom Brady was in
his... no Jimmy Graham. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have no Jimmy Graham.
We've been there for a while. That we talked about JerMichael Finley as if he was going to be Jimmy Graham, like in his production.
All right, but he
enjoyed it. Yeah, but I'm saying we talked about him back when he was in his prime and his heyday. We talked about him like we talked about Jimmy Graham.
That's true.
All right. Well,
and also, when Tom Brady, how many years has Aaron Rodgers been the starting quarterback for the Packers?
What is
four?
Six now? No, more than that.
So Tom Brady had already had three Super Bowls, Aaron Rodgers has one.
I hear that about a lot of different quarterbacks early in their careers, that they benefit from a great defense, whether it's Terry Bradshaw, Ben Roethlisberger, or anybody else. I mean, Tom Brady certainly rode that defense in the early years. It's not a coincidence that they haven't won a Super Bowl in 10 years since Brewski and McGinnis and those fellas moved on.
But then remember that Green Bay Packers defense, when they won it, they were one of the top defenses in the National Football League. They finished within the top five. They may have been one overall. So it's not like the quarterback just carried them solely on the strength of his right arm to the Super Bowl.
You
give him credit for what he's done, but it takes a full team. I think we need to kind of get away from the narrative that the quarterback does it all. You have to have the best quarterback with a standout defense.
Oh, I've moved on from that, Buck. Yeah. Listen, anybody who wants to argue that, hey, give me the best quarterback and we'll go from there, well, I point you towards the last three Super Bowl champs. Eli Manning, Joe Flacco, and Russell Wilson, who still has some growing to do, as great as he's looked in his first couple of years. All right, so we'll go Aaron Rodgers, and Jay Cutler's our backup, right? We're not going Stafford over Cutler, are we?
I'm going Cutler.
Yeah, I would go with Cutler.
Okay. Wide receiver, this is an easy one. Boy, oh boy, this is what a collection. We'll go Calvin Johnson. Whoa. Then we just go with the two Bears guys, and who's going to stop that trio?
You like that? We're not going to put Jordy Nelson.
I was
going to
say, Jordy Nelson, if you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback and you want to run that back shoulder fade,
can we make the argument about Jordy Nelson and Alshon Jeffrey? Alshon had a great year, but Jordy Nelson's been pretty consistent as a Pro Bowl kind of player.
All right, I leave it to you, fellas. Okay, we're definitely going Megatron. We're definitely going Brandon Marshall. And by the way, do we need anything? Well, maybe we'll just play with 10 guys.
How about no tight end? Let's leave the tight end off and go with four receivers.
Great point there by Rank, though. If you're Aaron Rodgers, your quarterback, having Jordy Nelson for the back shoulder fade. Bucky, I don't know if there's any wide receiver quarterback combination that does it as good as those guys, right?
They're nice. I mean, they're one of the tops at doing it. They really have a knack. And you want to give a guy, particularly when you're dealing with a quarterback in an all-star setting, you want to make sure the quarterback is comfortable. So having his number one receiver on the roster would certainly make him comfortable.
Done and done, then. So Calvin Johnson, Brandon Marshall, Jordy Nelson. Do we want to go with Rank's idea of going tight end list? That almost feels unfair to me, since everybody else has been held to
that
standard.
We're here to win.
I hear you, but let's do it just for the sake of the conversation, if nothing else. Eric Ebron, the youngster, going number nine there. Do we go into the Lions? I expect big things out of him. And, you know, to further that point, I say in a division with the Packers and Bears, you get caught up on those two. But what about the Lions this year? What do you think, Buck? What's your familiarity with Jim Caldwell as a head man?
I know him really well. I had a chance to go to Bears minicamp last week. I mean, not Bears, Lions minicamp last week, and watch those guys practice. Jim Caldwell is going to have a team that's very fundamental and disciplined, but they're going to put a lot of onus on that offense to really light it up. Lombardi comes in using really the New Orleans Saints offense, really trying to open it up, give the ball to multiple weapons. Reggie Bush should have a big year in that offense. Obviously, Calvin Johnson will be moved around and used a lot. And then it's on the young tight end to figure out if he can develop quick enough where they can use him. They still have a lot of expectations and hopes in Brandon Pettigrew. But when you draft Eric Ebron high in the draft, he has to be a guy that factors in the mix.
Yeah, they ain't that quickly, excited about him.
How quickly he can really learn that system will really tell whether he can be a contributor this year.
Forgive the ignorance, but when people say, I feel like people throw that out as though it's a valid point. But when you hear, well, the Lions brought in Golden Tate, so now you can't double cover Calvin Johnson. Is that true? Does that actually hold any water? Especially when secondaries are playing some variation on a zone anyway. When people say that, isn't that too easy to throw that nonsense out? Well, you can't double cover that guy.
It's easy to throw that out there. I don't think Golden Tate is enough to dissuade me from double teaming Calvin Johnson. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about the Bears duo with Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall, both guys being legitimate number one type players, yeah, then you have to pick and choose how you want to send your double, which guy you want to double team on a play. But with the Lions, it begins and ends with Calvin Johnson. You'll live with Golden Tate having 100 yards because you don't believe that he can carry that passing game and really hurt you. But Calvin Johnson, you know how explosive he is. You're willing to make sure you take him out the mix and let someone else find a way to beat you.
So we have Ebron, Martellus Bennett and Kyle Rudolph are probably the best, well, yeah, definitely the best name since Aaron Rodgers is trying to convince a basketball player from UK to, or from KU, I should say, to come and be tight end for his team. Kyle Rudolph, by
the
way.
Didn't they sign the guy from Oregon?
That is one to watch, Colt Laiyerla.
Yeah.
Colt Laiyerla. God, I don't want to bring
not
up.
Exactly the greatest kid, or just based on track
he has
record,
some stuff. He has some background issues. He has some character issues. But Green Bay is the perfect spot for him to really deal with those things. It's away from everything. It's isolated. It's a small town feel. He'd be able to kind of blend in and just kind of be a guy there and not really have the distractions of maybe being a big metropolis. But what I like about Laiyerla, he is a dynamic athlete. He was an all-state running back and linebacker in high school coming out of Hillsboro, Oregon. He goes to Oregon, really is dynamic. If you really looked at what he did at Oregon, he did a lot of the same things. I hate to bring this because I don't want to bring these imagery, but did a lot of the same things that Aaron Hernandez did as a player in terms of in the backfield, spread out, can run around. He's a super athlete, and so they're really getting a guy who could be a steal. He is one to watch, and he could give them what they had when JaMychal Finley was playing well. He's someone that I would keep an eye on.
Yeah, I hate that. And it's, of course, the Packers are the team that gets him. And he's going to be amazing. He'll be a Pro Bowler in 2 years.
Matt Money Smith says that your cohort from College Football 365 or 24/7 or both podcast.
A couple times
beforehand. Says that Laiyerla was nothing less than the most talented tight end of this entire class. It was just his character issues that made him fall out of seven rounds.
Yeah, you get caught snorting coke in the middle of the football season. It's hard to overcome that from a character standpoint. But from a physical tool set,
better than absolutely. Eric Ebron.
He's more talented. You look at the combine numbers. He's more talented as an athlete than Eric Ebron. Similar class-wise in terms of what they bring to the table, but he's every bit as good as Eric Ebron was as a prospect.
Ebron looks to me, that's high praise because just using the eyeballs, it looks to me like he's Vernon Davis 2.0. Not as fast,
not as explosive, but he is freakishly talented. He has a nice feel for getting things done, catching the ball, has some inconsistencies that show up sometimes making plays, but Colt Laiyerla, you look at his combine workout, his numbers. I mean, this guy is a pretty remarkable athlete, and he showed flashes of being a terrific player at Oregon. If his head is on straight, Mike McCarthy's going to have a lot of fun diagramming all kinds of plays for this guy
Bucky
to be a playmaker.
Brooks sounds like he's falling in love. Anyway, what were you saying there, Rank?
No, I was just going to make a point about these party guys. It always seems to go one or two ways. Think of Matt Jones back when he went to Jacksonville Arkansas. But then there's some others who've gone and done pretty well. I think of Chris Carter as the one that immediately jumps to mind. So for an undrafted guy who you're not risking a whole lot, this is a great move for the Packers. And as I said moments ago, 2 years, he'll be in the Pro Bowl.
Well, there's another guy who they did risk a lot. They used a first-round pick on him. Some people in Cleveland are concerned about the summertime habits of their would-be quarterback there. I love the snack. I didn't love it. I didn't think it was funny. He's not going into comedy, probably, Johnny Football, with his not-so-hysterical little video from a bathroom in a strip club, I think, with his stack of ones. But I do still say, and I know I'm already getting a little queasy for the sake of Browns fans. I'm getting a little bit – all right, so every weekend is Vegas? I mean, you have to always do something? I'm down for a young guy having his fun. Like I always say, I'm under no delusion that Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, especially when they were in their early 20s, left the practice field and spent the night in front of the TV eating ice cream with sprinkles on it. But on the other hand, I don't know that he needs to be out and about every weekend, Johnny Football. He might want to temper some of that. So maybe not
really?
At least put the – maybe he doesn't have to put it out on social media. Maybe that is the thing.
But I don't even know if it's him putting it out. I believe everyone is looking at
Johnny. No, that's
Johnny
him making
Manziel.
The video. I'm
saying we hear about it way too much. I think he has
I agree,
his level of celebrity. They always kind of bring him out and kind of make sure.
But I think about that, But at the same time, I look at my last couple of weekends during the Kings playoff run, and I'm like, yeah, I'm in no position to judge.
He can do whatever he wants. The only problem with it is if he gets the starting gig, let's say, for whatever, in late September or early October, I think he might get it even before that, but let's say they give it to him, and he stinks it up for 2 weeks. He throws 7 picks in 2 weeks, and they lose games and everything. That's when it'll come back to bite him. People will say, you see, see? That's when the snowball will start to mount against him, I fear. I don't care what he does. I couldn't care less.
A lot of guys out there about. A lot of NFLers out and about.
I agree. Summertime. That's what I say. Of course. Why would
I mean, if you go down in the South Bay, because our researcher, Bill Siddell, who works on NFL Fantasy Life, lives in the South Bay, and he was there, and during the entire Kings playoff, during the season, when those guys aren't playing, they're on the shore just drinking and hanging out and having a good time.
I know.
Whatever. It's just one of those things.
News flash for everybody who resides up on Mount Pius and looks down and tisks about all this. Fellas like ladies and young fellas that are in optimal physical condition and have some loot in their pocket, they tend to do well with ladies. You know, so
stop being queasy.
I get it that people, if he stinks it up, that it will come back to bite him. So tight end, what are we going? Ebron, Bennett, Rudolph, and I started to say Kyle Rudolph weighed in on our NFL Cup series that's up there on the .com right now. He is Team Cincinnati. He celebrated that. I'm sorry for Rudolph and his pals, though. Cincinnati could not win their first round matchup. They're out of the tournament.
Oh, anyway. No.
I think Rudolph is the one to watch.
Kyle Rudolph.
I think Kyle Rudolph is the one to watch. Yeah, I believe. Go
Big
back
call.
And look at North Turner's history. North Turner quickly transformed Jordan Cameron into a pro bowler. You look at Antonio Gates' prime years. They were under North Turner. When he was healthy, he got him a lot of touches, a lot of touches and targets, particularly down in the red zone. Kyle Rudolph would be a guy that puts up big, big, big numbers.
Interesting. Nice. So that's good fantasy advice. Who's going to get that starting gig, do you think? Teddy Bridgewater, Castle?
I think Teddy Bridgewater is on the fast track to get it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Matt Castle start, but Teddy Bridgewater will be in the lineup for the majority of the season.
I'm going to defer to Bucky on that one because I was ready to go Martellus Bennett, but when you start talking about the North Turner influence, yeah, it's hard to ignore.
I wish I could pull up the stats. I wrote about it in our coordinator's piece, but,
no, but
the stats for the tight ends under North Turner are ridiculous.
Well, go all the way back.
Novacek. Antonio Gates, Jordan Cameron. He has a feel for featuring the tight end in the middle of the field. This should be a huge year for Kyle Rudolph in the middle.
I like how Bucky pretends like, oh, the numbers, I wish I had them in front of me because I wrote about them. Everybody here knows Bucky Brooks equals prima donna.
Right. Somebody, that's right.
Some underling, some researcher writes the piece, and then Bucky Brooks walks
slaps
in,
my name,
puts his name that's on right. it, and takes the glory.
Mike Coppinger is writing it for him.
All right, so we're going Kyle Rudolph there. I like the idea of a more physical guy who can help us out with some blocking on this team. Running back, boy, oh boy, what a team this is. Adrian Peterson, Matt Forte, Eddie Lacy, Reggie Bush. I guess I'll say Joey Bell as well, but he ain't cracking in there. Who are we going with? Rank, I start with you.
Can we go anybody else other than Adrian Peterson?
Well, do we want to know? Maybe we should jump to the end of the novel here because we picked the coach as well. You could go Mark Trestman, who is more wizardly, but, you know, Mike McCarthy's been doing it for longer to, you know, with great results himself. So we're going with that. And I think we'll use Zimmer as our defensive coordinator. We'll bring him in to just
no, you wouldn't allow me to do that with one of the other divisions.
I know.
I wanted to do that.
But all right, you're right. So it'll be this guy's staff.
Wait, is Ray Horton the – no. He went down
to Tennessee.
So you don't – you can easily make a case for Matt Forte if you want to run kind of a spread out offense.
Well,
and
that
you think
matters
of what,
if we have Trestman or McCarthy. I'm going to say McCarthy. He's been there longer.
He's won a Super Bowl.
He's from Pittsburgh too.
I'm going to throw a curveball because all those running backs that we listed are old. They're older running backs, so I'm going to go with the young guy, maybe Eddie Lacy.
You're kidding me.
Absolutely.
No.
Absolutely.
By the way, I say Mike McCarthy, the great coach, is from Pittsburgh, PA. Mm-hmm. The greatest coach who spent time in Pittsburgh, PA, with all due respect to Mike Tomlin and Bill Cowher and the many other guys who are from Pittsburgh or spent time in Pittsburgh, John Fox and all those guys. Chuck Knoll, the Emperor Chaz Knoll. We lost him on Friday, and then we wake up on Monday morning to find out the West Coast lost a legend of its own in Tony Gwynn. Too much death. Enough with the death for 2014. But Chuck Knoll, I wrote a piece, and Judy Batista wrote a piece. There's stuff up there on NFL.com if you want to read it. But, what's to be said about it when we're buzzing through this here. But, go look up all that stuff if you want to lament the loss of that. To me, the most underrated head coach, at least. You know, he's a Hall of Famer and all that, but 4 out of 6 ain't jive. I mean, it is interesting. His name is not mentioned with Shula, Landry. When they start ranking the greatest coaches of all time, Walsh, Lombardi, his name does get left off, right? Is that my perception? He's understated.
He didn't really bring a lot of attention to himself.
And he vanished. He did not do like Madden, right? He didn't go to the booth or anything. Like, he just, when he retired, that was it. He vanished in the city of Pittsburgh. He wasn't even out and about in Pittsburgh all that often.
And you actually mentioned it at the top of your piece that you did. We're talking about how Tom Landry, he didn't wear a fedora, which seems like a little bit of a throwaway line, but did help in the image of Tom Landry and the image of the Dallas Cowboys, to where a lot of people feel that Tom Landry would be a better coach, but he lost 2 Super Bowls to Chuck Knoll. He didn't, you know, and Chuck Knoll had, like you said, 4 in 6 years.
And he built those teams, too. He handpicked those guys that the team was built around. Joe Green.
And he was given
Bradshaw,
a chance, too.
Blunt. Yeah,
as you said, it took him 3 years to get that going. Would they have been able to do that in any other era?
That's an interesting point. I think he went 1-13 in 69 with Mean Joe, and then he brought in Bradshaw, who obviously did not walk in the door and suddenly turn the fortune around by himself. Took him a long time. So, all right, back to this stuff. Eddie Lacy, I can't sign off on that, Buck. I won't do it. No. And we are doing this going into 2014. It's not past deeds, but until Adrian Peterson shows that he is diminished, we have to stay with him. If we put him out there in the first couple series, he don't look right, then we'll go get Eddie Lacy or even Matt Forte or maybe Reggie Bush. How say you, Rank?
Not Reggie Bush. It's between Adrian Peterson and Matt Forte, depending on the offense that you want to run. As a Bears fan, maybe I'll just stick with Matt Forte. I'm happy with him.
You know, Matt Forte, his peers on the NFL Top 100 list of 2014 had Matt Forte way down in the 90s. He wasn't happy about it. I wasn't happy about it. I think there are 8 or 9 different running backs listed ahead of him. That's loco in my book. So, but you're still saying, Buck, Lacy over Forte and Peterson. I'm sorry. I have to step in here and veto both of you. It's got to be Peterson. He's on track. I don't think he'll ever get there because, like you say, the life cycle of an NFL running back is left. But he's on pace to break all the records.
All those carries at some point.
Black tie weigh in. You break the tie.
Guys, I gotta go. As I put down here on my copious notes here, I asked the question: is Peterson past his prime? And
probably.
I mean, he probably is, but I don't think Eddie Lacy is more dynamic than any running back on this list.
Eddie Lacy is more dynamic. How many times did you see him run for?
No, Peterson is more dynamic.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, exactly. So I'll go with him. I'll go with Peterson first, and Matt Forte, who's vastly underrated. He's great catching out the backfield, solid speed, has good moves. Probably after LeSean McCoy, he probably has the best moves.
At first blush, I thought, well, of course it's Peterson, but you guys all make interesting cases for your guys. Black Tie, put it out with the hashtag DDFP, and let's let the Czech Republic rank amateurs and Black Sheep decide this thing once and for all.
All right.
Adrian Peterson, Forte, Lacy. Let's even keep Bush in there. Offensive line, Bucky, I'll defer to you. I have no idea. I know it's not the Packers.
No, it's not the Packers. I mean, the Bears got better. I would be okay with the Bears. I thought they did a good job up front. I would go with them. Minnesota's offensive line is pretty good, though. Maybe Minnesota. Maybe I go with Minnesota.
You make the decision, unless, Rank, you wish to weigh in on this one.
I got Matt Khalil. I have Phil Lotto. I have a good inside. I'm going to go with the Minnesota Vikings offensive line. How about that?
Let Minnesota have something on this team.
Well, they might get the running back, but yeah. Well, then they got Kyle Rudolph. How about that for an upset, come to think of it? We just went through this powerhouse offense. The Vikings got a tight end in it. Might get the running back, and they're going to have the offensive line.
Well, the Vikings were just two
if
years
we re- did special teams, Patterson might be the return man,
yeah,
right?
Cordero.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Now we got Randall Cobb, right?
No.
Patterson. Cordero Patterson.
Flash.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Not even close.
By the way, is Dree Archer going to be in the Pro Bowl as a kick returner, as your pal Daniel Jeremiah is forecasted?
Is that what he says? He says
yes.
He's Pro Bowl.
Yes, he does.
He's intriguing.
I know. He's little.
I don't know if he's
going to get hurt.
It's hard for little guys. It's big man's
game. DeSean Jackson looks down on him, laughs at how small he is. All right, let's get to the defense. So it's the Vikings offensive line. Now we got to get to the linebackers. And I don't like to play favorites. Wait a second. Yes, I do
like
to play favorites.
I was going to say, that's exactly
what
you like.
That's my game. A.J. Hawk has to be in there. He's our main man. He won the Shecky Award for the best guest. How could we leave him out? That would be a slap in his face.
Love A.J. Hawk.
Where's our honor?
As does Adam Rank. But look at this list. This probably is the strongest position group.
And he's the first one you pick. The first one off the playground. Wow.
That's exactly right.
Now we have three spots left.
That's too out. I think even AJ would understand.
That's the problem. AJ would understand.
I don't even think he would pick himself first.
Of course he wouldn't. He's a good guy. But
no, that's the thing with him. Hawk would.
He's in.
That's the thing. Why don't we? Oh, because we don't have a phone line in here. Oh, I was going to say we should call Hawk up for this, but the phones aren't working in this studio. Here.
We'll be soon. Yeah.
How about his flaxen-haired doppelganger in the linebacker spot for those Packers? Clay Matthews has to be there, right? We start with him. How about that, Buck? We'll start with Clay.
I have Clay Matthews in it. Yes.
Julius Peppers. We're counting him as an OLB in the 3-4.
He is OLB. That's what they have listed, man.
Oh, they do. They're gonna.
Yeah, he's outside. They're booking.
All right. So we'll go with. Oh, really?
They're not going with.
I didn't know that. They're both going to be essentially stand-up guys on the outside.
Part of the intrigue for him to go to the Green Bay Packers is he's always wanted to be a stand-up linebacker in a 3-4 scheme, so he can run around and use his athleticism.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Really?
So no, he
and
won't
will
be
that
inside.
Work?
Yeah, I think he'll.
4 years ago,
yeah, no, I think
who's
going to
have the better
juice.
Year, him or Jared Allen? Let's go straight sack totals. Who's going to have more sacks?
I would say the Green Bay Packers because they're more likely to play with
individual. I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, I'm saying I'm gonna go with the Packers. I'm gonna go with Pep.
Peppers is gonna have more sacks.
Yeah, 7.5 had a bad year last year. Now you finally put him on the opposite side of a legitimate pass rusher. He now gets to work against the inferior offensive lineman.
He'll What's your 10. Guess, Rank?
He'll have 10. How many did John Abraham have last year? Like 10 or 11?
A lot, yeah.
Oh, he can match that.
I'm gonna go with Jared Allen.
Jared Allen continues. We also enjoy him on the show too. If we're doing it just based on who we've had fun conversations with, it would be no question Jared Allen.
Of course,
Peppers has never joined us on the program.
No, can they stop anybody? Though? Can the Bears stop anybody?
Yeah,
I
have
think
enough,
so.
Did
they
you
have enough
not
opportunities?
Did
to
you just
get up
not when you were talking about like the alt or the greatest cornerback duos? You were talking about how good the Bears were.
They are because they produce turnovers.
Yes. Okay. So they'll be able to stop. Yes, so don't contradict yourself.
That's not contradicting myself because they can produce turnovers. They produce turnovers on their limited opportunities.
That's
so
their
now
D.
We're saying that Jared Allen's going to be able to get to the quarterback. They won't have any second and third and long situations. They can't stop the run.
So are we going?
No, wait a minute.
Wait
they
a
didn't
minute.
Stop
That's
the
not
run.
True.
They did okay. They've picked up a couple of guys.
Lamar Houston now is there.
He's Aaron Donald's in there?
Aaron Donald's in St. Louis.
Or sorry, not Aaron Donald, but
No,
the guy they drafted.
You have Ferguson and Will Sutton. Those little dudes, they're going to blow them off the ball.
No. Rank is right. Neither one of them is coming up with the name.
They don't have anybody in there.
The Bears definitely
have another tackle that they added to replace Melton. They did in the draft, yes.
Why am I?
Ego Ferguson.
Right.
And then they drafted Will Sutton.
Yeah.
Okay.
They didn't sign anybody.
Beefed it up.
No, not enough to stop the run.
Oh, come on.
So who are our linebackers? Let's go with four. I'm underwhelmed. I think we have plenty of room for our pals.
DeAndre Levy needs to be in the conversation.
DeAndre Levy, Stephen Tulloch, Lance Briggs, Chad Greenway, Anthony Barr, too many Vikings. This is supposed to be a powerhouse team. How many purple-clad guys are we going to have in it?
Still have to see Tony Barr play a little
bit.
Yeah,
I know. We'll go Clay Matthews on this level. For sure. Julius Peppers for sure. Right. Levy and Hawk. I'm sorry, Stephen Tulloch. You don't make the team.
Chad Greenway? You're just going to overlook Chad Greenway like that?
Chad Greenway.
Just pass over.
All right, Lance Briggs.
And Lance Briggs.
I did.
Lance Briggs is an automatic.
AJ Hawk over Lance Briggs. I mean, since we're giving out career achievement awards, evidently.
Well, listen, loyalty counts for something. Hawk has been good to this show, and frankly, I don't want to have the discussion with him that
he didn't make the cut?
That he didn't get into the team. If he doesn't make this team, what team's he going to make? No. You understand?
No.
All right, we're going with A.J. Hawk. Briggs, you want Briggs in there that badly?
No, I would say DeAndre Levy over Briggs.
Oh, so
are you really going with A.J. Hawk, Dan Mishak?
I just did!
We're trying to win here, Shaq.
We have a winning team with Hawk in there, or I don't know who's going to beat this team.
So Clay Peppers, DeAndre Levy.
Man, no love for Chad Greenway.
Just because out of context, people will get very upset when they see it. When they see it online and they see A.J. Hawk's name listed ahead of others, people will send bilious emails and tweets and such. All right. The cornerbacks, Peanut. I like Sam Shields over. What do you think there? We'll go with.
I'm going with the Bears duo.
So we'll go Tillman, Jennings, and Williams or Shields.
We said just pick two, right?
We pick three.
Let's put Kyle Fuller in there too, just for fun.
Just take the whole Bears secondary.
With Chris Houston, by the way, with a defense that ain't exactly deep in the back end there, why would they kick him to the curb?
He's just okay. Like, let's not make him out to be something that he's not. He's just okay. And they believe that Darius Slay can be a really good player.
Right.
Second-year player out of Mississippi State, they think he has a chance to be really good.
So we're only going to pick two here, Black Tie, even though we have three wide receivers. All right, so we'll go Peanut, Jennings, Sam Shields. Is that fair to everybody?
Sure.
Safety. This is the only place where we're going to have a little bit of trouble here. Do we immediately put Ha-Ha into there?
I think so.
Ha-Ha makes the team as a rookie. Sight unseen. And who else? Harrison Smith?
I think Harrison Smith. It's a weak division at safety.
Yeah, but, you know, every division has at least one weak position.
This is a weak division at safety.
But you know what? With those corners that we have out there, we're in good shape. And that D of the pass rush we're going to get. A.J. Hawk making big tackles everywhere all over the field.
I can't wait to see that.
And our D-line, Jared Allen and the Bears, Ndamukong Suh and the Lions. To me, this depends greatly on what we see. Keep in mind, Ziggy Ansah has barely played football. And he rose up, it was a year and a half or so ago that the buzz really started to get louder and louder on this guy. And he barely has played, but yet he's so dominant. And is he a first-round draft pick? He went from that to being like, is he the first overall pick kind of talk a year or so ago. Injuries, you know, a little bit of a implosion there. With Coach Schwartz and everything, so all that being said, is that the key to can Detroit be better? Can they be a playoff team if Ziggy Ansah? How good could he be, and then make that defensive line collectively that much better? Because Sue presumably would fare much better if
I mean they're talented. They're probably the most talented unit in the division. Fairley, Sue, you have Ansah. You have number guys that they roll in there. I think they'll be far more aggressive. They'll blitz more, which would create one-on-one opportunities for Sue and Fairley on the inside. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Ansah had 8 sacks last year, which led all rookies. I'm pretty sure of that stat. And so he's still trying to figure out how to play the NFL game. I think I would have to give them the nod in terms of just their overall depth and what they bring to the table.
Rank, do you wish to attempt to make a case for the Bears?
Nope.
All right, so we'll go with the Detroit Lions. And finally, what is the coach going to be? Oh, we've decided Mike McCarthy.
McCarthy, by
a whisper. But if we did break it out into coordinators, Tressman is the OC and Mike Zimmer is the defensive coordinator. Even on the coaching front, this is a dominant division. And let's decide this. Well, we got to go back and do all the jerseys and stadiums we want these games for.
Just to recap, so far the reaction on Twitter for running backs is definitely Adrian Peterson.
I knew it would be. Of course it would be. The fans, of course, are going to ask. They're going to say.
Some people respond, is this a joke? That was your response.
Tweeted at Matt Forte. This is his chance for a comeback. He wasn't happy about the top 100. This will make everything right. What is the best uniform rank? I start with you.
Chicago Bears.
Even with the blue pants on the road, those aren't good. If they had the white pants on the road with the white
jerseys.
Can we
mix and match it?
Well, they don't do it, so it's hard for us to say we can do that if they don't do it.
Can we use their throwback uniforms?
The orange.
I love when they have the big orange
those
numbers.
Are nice. I do
such
like
a great
those.
Uniform.
Yeah, Packers are nice. Lions look
Packers
good, but not
classic.
As good as they did when we were growing up.
Packers are a classic.
Well, so are the Bears.
So are the Bears. What do you mean? It's a classic.
I'm going with rank on this one. I'm going to say that. In total,
what helmet are they wearing? Are they wearing the C? Are they wearing the old school throwback unit?
I like when they wear the C without the orange inside. Just the plain
the white
C. Is
the Gale Sayers C.
But I mean, the Vikings used to have good ones too, but then they spoiled
I like
them
the,
as well.
I like the Vikings with the gray face mask.
No, the white face mask. Delmont Rashad, Tommy Kramer.
I don't like that. The gray.
No, that's better.
I like the gray.
Several
teams
need to go with that white face mask. Several teams need to go back to that. All right, so that's that, and it is the Chicago Bears who have the best uniform in the division of great uniforms. And we got to go Lambeau Field, come to think of it. That's not a conversation. We're not putting it in either Minnesota or Detroit, so it's Chicago Stadium with the giant walk set inside a Soldier Field or classic Lambeau. Lambeau, slam dunk there. All right, Bucky Brooks, what a pleasure to see you.
Thanks for having me. I had a good time, guys.
Say hi to your friends from around the league.
I will. I'll make sure I go do that. I'm also over to see if
I
can catch
them. I wonder what Greg Rosenthal's up to right now. Dan Hanses is so funny. Oh, he's so insightful.
He's such a jealous girlfriend. You're the jealous.
He's so smart about football.
Matter of fact, Bucky, since I'm the producer on that show now, I'm actually have you on Wednesday or Friday show. You
know? That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's all coming apart at the seams. All right.
So when do we get our new producer?
No, I'm staying.
Why?
I'm staying. You guys, it's all part of the plan. I'm a double agent now. You know,
double
just because those guys were getting pretty big, so you know, I'm in there to sort of sabotage everything.
Nah,
let him.
I feel he's been on a 3-year sabotage run here.
Let Black tie. I know that's a great equalizer.
Just,
Black tie's now going in there, and he's going to take them down.
Just kidding.
I'm just
guys.
Waiting until he pulls out the
just
NWO
kidding.
T-shirt. It's like, yeah, I told you guys all along.
All right, Bucky. Hey, you would. I wonder if you would have been on the Charlotte team if back in the day. We're going to talk right now about the NFL Cup. You know, that's our we put everybody back on their hometown teams. Charlotte had a good team. They did not survive their first round matchup.
Man, I don't know if I want to be on that team, but yeah. I would claim.
All right, so you get out of here, Bucky Brooks, and in steps now, researcher extraordinaire who helped didn't help. It pretty much is more his thing than it is mine. The great talented research department at NFL Media, led by this guy. Bill Smith on the NFL Cup. What's the poop with you, fella?
Not much. How's it going?
I'm swell, especially as I look over how this thing came together. Rank, you're stepping out now, too?
Yes. I got to go to arbitration now.
Oh, good.
It's salary arbitration time where I can sit there and they can tell me how terrible I've been. And
hey, before you go, Rank, real quick, what's your birth date again?
December 10th.
We put it out there on the last podcast. We did who has the best who shares a birthday most with the best celebrities.
Oh.
I feel mine is pretty hard to beat.
Oh, no. Mine's terrible, and I'm close to being on that list.
Well,
like,
just,
one day the local radio station they have here, Ralph Garman on K-Rock, always reads through, like, hey, today's celebrity birthdays. 1 year, Adam Rank is going to be on December 10th. Because I'm not far away. Now that Michael Clark Duncan is gone, I'm battling Raven Simone.
Well, he still counts. He doesn't have
to be alive to
count.
It's got
to
be somebody alive. So I've got, like, Raven Simone. The girl from the Partridge Family.
How about this? You got Matt Forte. It's a sign from above. You have Emily Dickinson. You have Bobby Flay.
Like the
celebrity chef.
Like way back, yes. If you go dead guys' birthdays.
I really don't know who a lot of these people are. Susan Day.
Susan Day, the Partridge Family, yeah.
The Partridge Family. Nia Peebles.
Okay. See?
It's a pretty bad
See, right? So
Kenneth Branagh is good.
They never list Matt Forte on that list because they usually go as celebrities. But it's like, yeah, so... Sports-wise, I'll never make it.
Illinois politician Rod Blagojevich.
Oh, yeah.
Dion Waiters of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Yeah, that's
pretty sad. That's awful.
I'm close.
I would like to point out, though, John Willett, a.k.a. Magenta Placenta, he has on August 18th Bobby Redford, Ed Norton, Roberto Clemente, Jeremy Shockey, and Patrick Swayze.
That's a good one.
That's an excellent one.
And there's one I believe it's coming up. Because I'm always fascinated by this as well, where there's an all-star day that can't be matched.
Well,
I know yours was close.
Here's what mine goes. And, Bill, you're a researcher. See if you can
but
research
But this
a
is a good note
is.
To give out to the people. Send us your birthday,
yeah,
celebrity
a lot of people
mates.
Let us know what the
hashtag DDFP. We'll decide on the best one.
It's not concluded yet, but I just want to bring you up to speed. The gold standard in my book is my own, June 11th. I go Vince Lombardi. Arguably the greatest coach. I guess I know that all things are arguable, as I like to point out. But all right, Vince Lombardi, Joe Montana, to me, the best quarterback of all time. Adrian Barbeau from Cannonball Run and Swamp Thing.
I love how you saved the best for last. Keep going.
Shia LaBeouf of the Transformers.
Also a plagiarist, but go ahead.
Right. Jacques Cousteau, Pioneer of the Sea. And best of all, perhaps, the still living... Murderous Tyrion Lannister.
Spoiler alert, but okay.
I don't care. So what? You should know. If you care about the show, you should be up to speed.
Was that the guy from Nip Tuck?
Point is, if anyone can beat Dave's birthday.
Peter Dinklage. Yeah, he's
Peter Dinklage. Oh, I never saw that.
Yeah, he's on Nip
Tuck. If anyone can beat Dave's birthday, we will here on the DDFP send you a birthday present.
There's going to be plenty.
At OMG, the best one. Throws out on May 16th, Pierce Brosnan, Janet Jackson, Thurman Thomas, Megan Fox, another Transformers person.
The best we get, we'll celebrate their birthday.
Liberace, Tori Spelling, Danny Trejo, Henry Fonda, and Wee Man. All right, that doesn't rise to this.
Whoa, that beats yours.
It does not. Shame on you.
Yeah. Wee Man beats.
I got Lombardi Boy. Sarah Peters, at Indy Sarah. Matt Castle and Matt Ryan on May 17th. That
nope.
That also doesn't rise.
Sorry,
to
Sarah.
B. Watkinson, at B.C. Watkinson, June 13th. Peter Sellers. One of the top two or three greatest comedic performers of the 20th century. Pink.
Nah.
World War One poet Siegfried Sassoon. Siegfried Sassoon, other than the name, I don't know. Martin Freeman from Fargo. That's a great show. And Richard the Lionheart. I'm sorry.
Come on, people.
Don't waste my time. Don't waste my time. I'm a busy man.
I'm going to go start looking. Well, actually, I don't know if I will be. This could actually be my last appearance here, so... If it is, thanks for everything. You guys have been great. I appreciate
thanks
all that you've done.
It's been actually pretty good.
We'll
good
see
luck
how
to your
goes.
Halos. You're going out on top with your kings.
Yeah, this might be the time to walk out. So anyways.
Go get them.
God bless.
Godspeed. There he goes. Adam Rank. All right, Bill Smith. This is what I wanted to kibitz about.
Hold on. One more, though. Isn't December 30th Tiger and LeBron?
I don't know.
That is Tiger and LeBron. That might...
How do you know that?
No, it is. So, yeah, I know both their birthdays.
LeBron, Tiger, Ellie Goulding. I don't know who that is. Tyrese Gibson. Matt Lauer. All right. The wife of Curtis Conway and daughter of the greatest of all time, Layla Ali, was born on this day.
Quite a fighter in own right.
How about Eliza Dushku? Oh, what a woman. That's a fox. A fox extraordinaire. Whoa. Sandy Koufax on December 30th. You maybe have the greatest pitcher, the greatest basketball player, and the greatest golfer, plus David
greatest
Jones
female boxer.
Well, I don't know. Do we Kenyon Martin to boot?
Kenyon Martin.
Tracy Ullman is funny. Heidi Fleiss. This is a mixed bag though. Like some drag you down. Like, you know, if you have to include the bad ones with the good, that it gets dragged down a little bit. Possibly.
All right, Dave, enough of the birthdays.
All right, it is a fun game to play.
It
well,
is.
Listen,
having
Smith
a little bit too much
up.
Fun.
All right, Bill Smith. So what we did was, again, we applied a couple of – we made a couple of assumptions. One being you actually decided this, that everybody is abandoning their professional teams in the NFL to return to their hometowns, their home region – to play. The assumption you made was where they went to high school versus where they were born. Any explanation for why you went that direction?
Basically, it's the easiest way to collect the data. We don't have birthplaces for everyone, but for the most part, the NFL has where everyone went to high school.
And again, you can check this out at NFL.com. It's the NFL Cup. All the first round results are up there. Full rosters are there. We cobbled them together as best we could. We tried to mimic the World Cup way, which was we did groups of four, and we had four groups of four. We just didn't have enough. You couldn't do 32. There were not enough metropolises with enough to fill out, to flesh out full rosters.
Correct. It's tough to get 22 starters from 32 different cities around the country.
So what teams jumped out at you as you went through this? What caught your eyes about this?
Miami was very good all around. The only thing, they didn't really have a quarterback.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. So the Miami roster, as you would expect, I think going into it, my assumptions were, and some were right, some were wrong. I thought Miami, I thought the Texas cities would be great. I thought New Orleans would be gangbusters, Southern California. And I thought that Pittsburgh, I thought the Ohio teams maybe would be good. And I thought nothing in the Northeast would come out of there. I was right about some, wrong about the others. How surprised were you that Chicago has a viable team?
Well, Chicago's a big city, and the way we did it was we took everything in a 100-mile radius of the city to get as close we could to the city and the suburbs. So when you go 100 miles around Chicago, there's a lot of places where
you get up into Wisconsin a little bit.
Whereas when you go Miami and Los Angeles, half the places you go around are ocean. So you lose out on a lot of land. Where in Chicago, you kind of get it 360 degrees.
Yeah, and the fact is that unfortunately, I know people in Philadelphia are upset. In fact, the aforementioned Bill Sedell, the researcher here, didn't like it because some of the guys that fit in on the New York team, Joe Flacco and Matt Ryan specifically, are Philadelphia guys or Jersey Shore kind of guys. But that you had to do that because it's densely populated there, but if you didn't expand it to 100 miles outside of cities, most cities don't have anyone that resides outside of that. You had to, in order to fill the rosters, you had to do that to some of the smaller areas that we were looking at to include them. So anyway, but that being said, I know we catch some of Philadelphia with this, but I was surprised by how good the New York team was. And was stunned at D.C. Did you know D.C. was so football rich?
I actually did know D.C. was so football rich. That was one of the places I thought would be great. But
I'm behind the times on that.
Wasn't quite up to how good they were. Didn't know the one Russell Wilson, them having a quarterback. That's the whole key to this thing. A lot of cities have a lot of really good players, but some don't have any quarterbacks. Whereas Texas has... Some cities have four or five quarterbacks.
Yeah, and some teams have insane depth on the offensive line. Other teams, we really had to struggle to find anybody who's a practice squad guy to sort of jam into the offensive line to make a team viable. It is funny that certain regions produce, I like to wax on and on, historically about Pittsburgh is the cradle of quarterbacks. Of course, Montana, Unitas, Namath and Marino, Jim Kelly, all come from Pittsburgh, PA. So it's interesting that regions, obviously, that one generation inspires the next. For instance, New Orleans with its defensive backs, right?
Correct. I mean, starting with Ed Reed and all the way up through.
Yeah, it's amazing. You have to kick some guys to the curb. But looking at D.C. here, so you go Russell Wilson, Shady McCoy, who is from Harrisburg, PA, again, extends to the limits of the 100-mile radius there. And, of course, Pittsburghers would like to see a guy who went to school at Pitt carrying the ball for that team. That was the team that I was disappointed by as somebody who was born and bred on the banks of the Three Rivers. I'm living in yesteryear. I thought that Pittsburgh team would be good, and really, that was an overmatched team, huh?
Correct.
We had to go. In fact, Chaz Batch was our quarterback, Bruce Gradkowski or Terrell Pryor. Did I make the right call by going with Pryor there?
At this point in Mr. Batch's career, you did make the right choice going with Terrell Pryor.
So, spoiler alert, again, you can check out all the rosters at NFL.com. We also, at this point, have the first round results completed here, and I'll let you know how that went. Miami snuck past New Orleans in their first round matchup. Teddy Bridgewater, do we do right with Bridgewater over Geno Smith?
It's tough. Geno has a year under his belt. They did go 8-8 last year, so... He did win some games, but you got to take the upside of Bridgewater.
It really was surprising because Miami is so loaded everywhere else on the field. I think L.A. also, ironically, a city obviously that doesn't have a pro football team, has at least in the top three, I would say, most talented rosters. But they also are, I mean, they're better off with Carson Palmer QB, but they don't have a great QB there. But Geno for an otherwise dominant Miami team, it'll be interesting to see if they get tripped up there. So Peyton and Eli and all those New Orleans guys are now gone. Atlanta was another good one. Did you see that one coming? I know it's SEC country and everything.
I didn't see Atlanta coming. You don't think of Atlanta as a football city for high school that doesn't jump off the page to me. But they had a lot of good players.
Yeah, and Tampa, St. Pete, conversely, was not nearly as good as I thought they would be. I mean, they certainly have some players, but that Blake Bortles was our best choice of quarterback there.
You got to rely on Chris Johnson and Brandon Marshall there.
Yeah, Atlanta has Cam Newton as a side note, throwing it to Calvin Johnson, so you can see why that team would be good. L.A. dominated Phoenix in their matchup. Phoenix is an emerging I wouldn't be surprised if we do this again in 4 years. I mean, I won't be working here anymore. I've long since been kicked to the curb for some salacious scandal. But you'll probably have risen higher up in the rankings, so you'll order one of your minions to do this. When that happens in 4 years, I think that's the rising powerhouse. I think there's a talent pool in Phoenix that was not there two generations ago. True?
Makes sense to me. I mean, a lot more people are moving to that area now.
Yeah. What was the question? Oh, we had Ryan Fitzpatrick was the problem for the Phoenix team. Surprised, by the way, that he's been announced as the starter already for Houston. Houston, speaking of whom, they lose in a nail-biter to the Bay Area. The Bay Area loaded on offense, not so much on defense. And Houston had a really good team as well. But again, not as good as I expected it to be. So the Bay Area... Do you think – because the offensive line is sketchy for the Bay Area, the right decision, Tom Brady over Colin Kaepernick?
Absolutely. It's Tom Brady.
Yeah, but Kaepernick can run away from it.
But it's Tom Brady.
All right. I hear your point. I just want to try to – any position battles that are out there, I want to make sure we service those. The Chicago team took care of Cincinnati. A mild surprise again. You know, I thought Cincinnati – You know, you're from that region. You're from Kentucky side of that border, but you know that Ohio is loaded with football players, too.
Cincinnati's a great one because not only do you get Cincinnati, but you get Lexington, you get Louisville, you hit Indianapolis, and you hit Columbus within a 100-mile radius. Again, the problem.
Oh, is that right? It caught Indianapolis as well.
No quarterbacks at all.
That's right. We went with the hefty lefty, in fact.
Because
Jared Lorenzen. There were zero other options.
There was not an NFL quarterback on the roster.
That explains why they got whipped. Dallas took care of Cleveland. Again, Cleveland. Why were they? And they also tap into Detroit, and yet not enough to beat that mighty Dallas team. What's intriguing, though, is Tony Romo, people will point out, spent a lot of his youth in San Diego, but because of some of the assumptions we made, Romo goes to high school up in Wisconsin. That fits into Chicago. So that sets up a second-round matchup. Tony Romo's Chicago team going down to Dallas to play that squad. We have New York City and the surrounding area there. They took care of Charlotte. And like I say, the mighty Washington, D.C. squad, a stunner for me, dominating a surprisingly terrible Steelers team. I'm calling them the Steelers. Good news, Pittsburgh people. That is not actually the representative of your city. But the defense for D.C., Darnell Dockett, Phil Taylor, Cameron Wake, and Chris Long. What a front line that is, right?
Absolutely. All the way through, they have the Davis brothers, Vontae and Vernon. I mean, they got talent all the way up and down the roster.
All right, best guess. Who's going to win this tournament?
Probably Los Angeles. Mm. I think Los Angeles and Miami are the two best teams. Maybe DC's right there, but again, Miami does not have a quarterback. Say what you want about Carson Palmer. He's capable. And maybe Russell Wilson can pull off another stunner.
It is interesting that the liability of two of the three best teams is at quarterback. So it'll be interesting to see. Time will tell. We don't know what's going to happen yet.
It's where all the athletes are, but the NFL is still a little slow in adapting to having the athlete play quarterback.
All right, Bill Smith, terrific stuff from you and your gang.
Before he leaves, I got some breaking news in here. Well, it's not breaking news. On tomorrow's Top 100 show, the names are going to be released or will be released by the time you listen to this on NFL.com. So real quick, based on the quarterback, wide receiver, and cornerbacks on tomorrow's list, who should rank higher at that position? We have Big Ben and P. Riv at quarterback, Larry Fitz and Brandon Marshall, wide receiver, and Joe Hayden and Darrell Revis as cornerback. Who should rank higher on the list on the next up?
Well, I know where you're going with quarterbacks. And
it doesn't matter where I'm going. And by the way, it has nothing to do with being a homer. Big Ben Roethlisberger has 2 rings and 3 Super Bowl appearances. Phil Rivers has never been to a Super Bowl. It's pretty simple from where I sit. I know
that
Phil Rivers had a better 2013.
Correct.
I know but it's not like – here's the – again, the narratives. People, I've talked to a lot of people here at NFL Media, a lot of analysts, a lot of so-called experts who say, oh, you're living in the past with Roethlisberger. Look at that team. They were terrible last year. Did you see the season Roethlisberger had? That thing was ready to implode on them, and he got them within a field goal in San Diego away from the playoffs. I mean, he had a dynamite personal
Antonio
season.
Brown doesn't step out of bounds at the end there.
That's
against
right.
the Dolphins. And
by the way,
they
Antonio
could be
Brown is making this list. As much as some more of the analysts scoffed at that when I said it last week. Oh, Antonio Brown. Yeah.
Well, if he's listed above these two wide receivers we have in Larry Fitzgerald and Brandon Marshall, he's not better than either of those two guys.
I mean, better, or, I mean, if you're looking at what he did, he went 110 for 1,500 yards last year.
That's fine. Brandon Marshall went sixth, I think, maybe seventh straight 1,000-yard season with Alshon Jeffrey on the other side. Say what you want about Antonio Brown. He doesn't have anyone really on the other side taking yards away from him.
I love people use that point to suit their argument all the time. Like, well, he's the only guy they had to throw to, so, of course, he caught an inordinate number of passes. And then people go the other way, like, yeah, but he was double teamed. You know, he was double teamed the whole time, so that's why he couldn't catch as many passes. It has to do with what your pedigree is. If you can handle double coverage and still thrive, then you're a legit number one.
He did a great job this year with no Mike Wallace. Absolutely, but is he better than Brandon Marshall?
I mean, I don't know if he's better. I listen.
Would you rank
about bias?
Who would you rank higher, Antonio Brown or Brandon Marshall?
Brandon Marshall, certainly.
Right.
But I will say, I mean, this is biased, too. It's not even worth mentioning, and yet I'm going to mention it anyway. Ike Taylor said last summer, Antonio Brown is the best one-on-one wide receiver in the NFL. I laughed. I said, better than Calvin Johnson? Ridiculous. He said, he's better than him one-on-one. Now, he's biased, too. But for what it's worth, I mean, those are pretty phenomenal numbers, 110 and 1,500 yards for
Absolutely.
Antonio Brown. Many of them spectacular. But, yeah, you're right.
There's no argument. Big Ben should be ranked higher on this list.
And I guess numbers. If we're doing going into 2014, he has been the gold standard at his position. Darrell Revis belongs ahead of Joe Hayden, as good as he's been.
Absolutely.
But look out for that Cleveland duo.
Absolutely.
Justin Gilbert and Joe Hayden, that's the best duo at corner, right?
Yes, Revis, year two off the ACL, though. He should be fully back.
Right. All right, well, listen, Bill Smith, I always enjoy kibitzing with you, and you rectify my reckless speculation with facts and stuff. I don't always appreciate you doing that, by the way. You don't have to undermine me with statistics and truth all the time.
The truth hurts sometimes.
Well, I don't like it. I'd rather recklessly speculate, as you know. All right, well, listen, Bill Smith, thank you for your work on this. One more time, I will mention it. The NFL Cup at NFL.com, and we're kibitzing about it on the network, but I don't know when and where, so look at the online version. Black Tie, our first show under the belt now in Studio 4 while they do whatever they're doing. They're jazzing it up. When Studio 66 reopens, I think we'll call it Studio 66 Maximum Strength.
How about just new Studio 66, like new Yankee Stadium?
I like my idea better. Maximum Strength Studio 66. All right, go watch your World Cup. That's all you care about. You and your beloved.
Speaking
World
of the World Cup, maybe later on this week or early next week, another World Cup podcast. You down for it, Shaq?
You know I'm down for it. It's the beautiful game.
All right.
I love talking about the beautiful
Team
game.
Team USA did just win, so interest right now is at an all-time high.
Well, we talk about going to your hometown or homeland. Some of these guys playing for the U.S. aren't even from this country. I mean, it's weird a little bit. Right.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny Brooks, who they're now tabbing as Johnny Football, he's German-born, actually. So.
Well, it's funny that Klinsmann does not believe in miracles. You know, he does not think the U.S. team can win. But the guy who scores the goal for the U.S., famously, you know, Herb Brooks coaches the U.S. hockey team in 1980. Do you believe in miracles? A guy named Brooks does believe in miracles, apparently, as he defeats Ghana.
Yeah, and he actually had a dream about the goal he scored, which is pretty much exactly the same.
Oh, that's easy to say after you do it.
Well, I mean, you can look at the celebration, which was the best thing about the goal for me. It was like he was such awe. Like, he was stunned. It was like, I can't believe I'm doing this right here. It seemed very personal to him, so I believe that story.
It was fun. I enjoy watching all of it, you know. I just don't understand. I just intrinsically do not understand the game. I don't get the spatial elements of it. It seems like they should kick it at the goal a lot more than they do.
It's a lot of massaging. It's a lot of, you know, seesaw massaging,
trying to pick
a lock.
The best bet is
it's
just
a puzzle.
Kick it at the goal, and
it's
like saying they should Stafford just throw it up to Calvin Johnson every play.
I understand. Well, I do like doing that. That's a fun game to play if you're ever at a football game. It's just loudly announced, like, hey, if I were the coach of this team, why don't they just throw a touchdown pass here? That's what they should do. Do that in get and watch the people wheel around, the pretentious people wheel around to give you the stink eye. In this case, but I watched soccer. It looks like those guys kick it pretty hard, and it moves around. And
Shaq, how about this? Right now we're watching the Brazil-Mexico game. I know you've been working on your soccer commentary. Do you want to call this free kick now about to be taken by Neymar in the 63rd minute?
Neymar, call it live. Form today. Neymar, the burgeoning star of our sport of football, wheels, kicks. Why? Just why? He almost hit that one in, though. Knocked that one in.
See? Need more excitement. But you get in there. You get in
the
there.
The shot, and oh, just misses the
top corner. He just missed the top corner. Good
right.
swerve.
That's enough. See, that was underwhelming. All right, listen. Thank you again, Bill Smith. Thank you to Bucky Brooks, Rank, Black Tie, more Hooey and Applesauce coming later in the week, including a review of the top 100. And we'll wrap up our all-division series with the NFC West, the reigning best division in the NFL. We'll do that for you later in the week. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.